Today's September 13th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $26,208.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, same old, same old. How about you, Hans?
You know, surviving another week. It feels like we haven't recorded in a while, but I think we did record last week. We recorded on Monday last week, didn't we?
Yes. Well, it's been 9 days. It's a little bit long for us, but, you know, at least we're making it week to week.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it felt, for some reason, it was like, man, we missed all last week. No, we recorded on Monday, but that's because of the holiday. But here we are bringing you guys another episode. Right. And what came out today?
The CPI numbers.
CPI. Like we always will try and bring you guys CPI numbers because like that's like something major that we look forward to. It's almost like Christmas.
Yep. I mean, that's kind of what the Bitcoin market looks at too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think it's economics as a whole right now, right? Like everybody is hooked on this. And what did we see? We saw exactly, well, not exactly, but we saw the same thing that we saw last month. CPI's come up again.
So the soft landing is not really happening.
You know, and it's funny too, because I was listening to the Wall Street Journal at lunch, I think it was last week, before the CPI numbers were coming in, and they were just like, oh yeah, no, soft landing is going to happen. Everybody's looking at this and we're going to have a soft landing. And then there was one guy that came on. He's like, no, we're not. I don't know how you guys are seeing the soft landing. Like that would be awesome if it was going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. Like they want to see, I hate to say this, but they want to see that hurt. They want to see the jobs. They want to see people getting fired. They want to see people getting laid off. I mean, really, that's what it's going to take to turn this stuff around, or at least to start moving in the opposite direction. A lot of people are saying that more than likely we're going to see another rate hike coming in September. Well, I guess actually October. I'm sorry. I misspoke. We're in September. But because of these numbers coming in, we're seeing that surge again.
Well, it's going up. I mean, they've technically were supposed to try and tame inflation with an increase rates, but it's not working, obviously.
No. We saw inflation rose 3.7%, which is what our numbers were, right? And the consumer price index rose 0.6% in August, and that's the biggest gain that we've seen in 2023 so far. Because they were trending down. Like, I honestly thought, I think if we'd have to go back and look at one of our earlier episodes this year, and I think they were thinking around this time or October, inflation was going to get down to 2%. Do you remember us talking about that?
Vaguely, yes.
I wondered, I was like, well, how are they going to do that between now and then? I think at the time we were much higher, and I will say, like, according to their numbers, and I'm using hand quotations, numbers, they brought it down quite a bit, but now we're trending in the opposite direction again.
Right.
Well,
that's the thing, you know, with this podcast, you and I have been pretty much together on the fact that we do not believe any of the quote unquote numbers.
Right.
Right. We talk about these numbers and we go, yeah, I don't know if I necessarily believe them. I brought up some articles recently, like, I posted it on our Discord, where in August they revised the reporting numbers for March down 500,000 jobs created.
And that is just insane.
So if you look at that, I think they said there was like over 600,000 jobs created. And then so when you revise that down, there was just 100,000 jobs created in March.
How did they do that? Like, what are they? And I didn't read the article. What does it say in there? Can you kind of summarize it?
Well, let me go back to that visit site. Discord doesn't want to let me open that.
Really?
Those sons of biscuits. Well, I think they're trying to protect me from, you know, fraudsters trying to do stuff. But basically, it was just saying that there was an overestimation from how many people that they were looking at. They extrapolated too much from a smaller group, and so they figured that was the jobs created, but that's not actually the case at all. So, but you know, it always happens in one direction. It doesn't happen in the opposite direction, obviously.
Yeah.
So part of me is like, I don't know if I believe you.
Well, and I mean, and that kind of goes back to, we talked like at the beginning of the year, we talked about the CPI numbers, how they changed how they were weighted within the basket, right?
Exactly. January, they changed the basket. So they weighted certain things more than others, or they removed them entirely.
Yeah. And, you know, and we continue to see the same thing. Like, energy prices continue to feed much of the gains for the inflation for this month. 5.6%. And that includes a 10.6% surge in gasoline under the energy basket for this. I mean, and that's something you said even before we had really kind of looked at the numbers for CPI, was that, you know, obviously gas had gone up.
Yeah.
A huge amount. And I mean, a lot of that we're seeing with like what's going on with OPEC and all the restrictions that are happening, you know, between Russia and the Saudi countries. I mean, and that could be a lot where we're going to see some influence of the BRICS nations as that kind of continues to proliferate within the economy.
Well, we also have to mention that there's certain areas in the Arctic that were made off limits to drilling by the Biden administration this month.
Really?
Granted, that's not going to have a huge, huge effect on the amount coming in. But that, as far as the futures, that just goes, oh, well, it's going to be going up now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and they want to make that push, right? They want to get us all in electric vehicles.
Yep. Carbon neutral or zero carbon emissions. That's
zero emissions.
The goal of
2050.
Which is insane. I mean, there's no way that's happening.
No. I still don't know if necessarily like electric is the way to go, because I just can't imagine an ambulance being like, well, we can't go to your medical emergency because we're waiting for the ambulance to charge. I'm like, no, I can't see it. But something else you brought up and I thought was kind of interesting was you'd send me some numbers from Fender.
Yes. Fender, the guitar manufacturer, announced here last week that they had 600,000 orders canceled. Granted, that's not just guitars, that's also their amplifiers and stuff like that, but that's not a small amount.
No, that's pretty substantial. I mean, and you're starting to see that a lot of that stuff across the board, and no offense to Fender or anything like that at all, but I think what's starting to happen is I think Americans are really starting to tighten their belts. You know, I mean, these continual months of inflation, I mean, and even when you look at that, oh, well, it's only 3.7%. Well, guess what? But that was already because we already had a 9-10% increase from the previous year. So this is still a 3.7% increase on top of that.
Yeah, well, just pause there. We need to explain. It's a 3% increase on the 10% roughly of last year. So that's exponentially growing.
Yeah.
On top of that. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's year over year inflation increase, right? So we already had that huge increase last year, and now this is another 3% on top of that. This isn't just a pod, oh, yeah, well, it all got reset. No, like this is just, things are just continually increasing higher and higher and higher. So even if they get back to 2%, that's already, you know, we're already looking at a, you know, 20, 30% increase in inflation by the time all these numbers are said and done. So, yeah, I really think what's starting to happen is consumers are having to really start, especially in the United States, consumers are really starting to pay attention to what they can and cannot buy. Like, I think a lot of the shifts are starting to happen to needs as opposed to wants anymore.
Indeed. And, I mean, I should mention this. I was watching on Twitter, you know, Paul Krugman, the most famous Keynesian, you know, associated with the New York Times, talking about how the job numbers are impressive and that people think that things are bad or just off the rocker. And I'm just going, you crazy SOB. I mean, that is gaslighting to the 10th degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing for us to say, you know, things are getting kind of bad. I mean, and that's, you know, we're still not like, if you can imagine where we were 20, 30 years ago, well, more than, maybe not quite that far back, but, you know, us economically speaking, 20 years ago, I think that's fair. We probably would be hurting a lot more than what we hurt currently. So, I mean, if to sit there, especially in an ivory tower like that, where, you know, this person is probably so high up on the chain that they're probably not feeling the pinch because they probably have a lot of assets.
Well, it's not even that. They're both, you know, establishment shills in the corporate media that get paid millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're getting paid that kind of money, I mean, if eggs go up, you know, 50%, I mean, are you really hurting that bad?
No. Absolutely not. Not for you. I mean, not for that person.
Not for them. Yeah. For the average person that's, you know, been living hand to mouth for the past few years and you don't have $1,000 in case there's an emergency in your bank account, I mean, that's a whole different reality from what they're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people forget about that. I can't say a lot of people forget about that. I think a lot of people are living that, and it's not a very comfortable position to be in. And I don't know where that takes us or when that changes. You know,
The only thing is I can say is things are definitely not going in the right direction. People are not exactly enthusiastic about Bidenomics.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was funny because we talked about Bidenomics before, and one of the things that I thought was very interesting was, and Biden came out and he's like, you know, he was doing one of his crazy rhetoric things. And I'm going to paraphrase him because I'm not going to exactly quote it right. But he's like, listen, Jack, I've heard a lot of discussion across the aisle about Bidenomics. Well, I've got news for you. We've got the lowest inflation of any developed first world country in the world. So that's what he's basing his success of Bidenomics on, is because our inflation is lower than everybody else's.
Yeah. Which is, you know, we're still technically the reserve currency of the world, so we kind of have a little bit of an advantage there, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... And I was like, how's he claiming that everything's working? That's his big win. Because everybody right. else's inflation is higher than ours.
I don't know. All I can say is Bidenomics... There's some interesting developments happening politically. Like, I think I was seeing something recently where black voters are now supporting Trump by 20%. Which, I mean, it's not a ton. I mean, 20%, but previously it's been like well over 90% black support for Democratic candidates.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show that there's something happening. Things are not exactly rosy for at least the black community.
No.
At least 20% of them, I should say.
Yeah. I think it's getting tough everywhere. I mean, you're seeing a huge increase, especially you're seeing an increase in crime, and that's usually not because things are going great, especially in the inner cities.
Exactly.
So as that kind of continues to happen, right, and that haves and the have-nots, that abyss kind of gets larger and larger and larger again. It's getting tough. I mean, and honestly, it's kind of sad. Like even to this day, like even the money that we make is just kind of considered still middle class. Like, and there's quite a gap between what I make now and what I used to make 20 years ago again. But it's still like, well, you're still kind of in that lower echelon, but you're still doing way better than a lot of other people.
Right.
So, yeah, I know a lot of people are getting getting pinched by this. And we spent a lot of time talking about CPI. I didn't think we were going to spend that much time on it. It's kind of funny, but it's good. Real quick, I wanted to touch on something else. We've had all this information, you know, between Grayscale winning their lawsuit against the SEC and how, you know, we've got all these ETFs that are coming on board here pretty soon, hopefully, and more likely they will be. A lot of rumors are starting to point to October. I still don't know how true that is. I know that Grayscale had written a letter earlier this week or towards the end of last week to the SEC asking them, almost kind of dictating what they're going to do with the spot Bitcoin ETF that they have with their Grayscale Bitcoin Trust and how, you know, they want it to be approved. We actually started to get something from the what they call the FASB, which is the Financial Accounting Standards Board. And they're actually putting out clarity on how corporations will be able to apply Bitcoins and cryptocurrencies at large to their balance sheets for corporations and how they will be recognized within accounting measures. So that's kind of interesting that that's coming in line, you know, right about this time.
You know, and I think that's actually something pretty huge.
Yeah.
Because I think until now, or until this goes into effect, I mean, most corporations are not going to be putting Bitcoin on their balance sheets at all.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, yeah, because they don't want to touch it.
Afraid to do that.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got a publicly traded company and you have to be able to list all your assets and all these other things every, you know, during all your quarterly reports and all this other information to kind of show what your health is at, they need to have clear direction on how they can look at these assets well on their balance sheets, right?
Right.
So, I mean, say what you want, but MicroStrategy broke a lot of ground on a lot of different things. I think this is the type of stuff that other big corporations that maybe aren't so quick to be able to make these types of decisions and that maybe are a little bit more conservative with their accounting practices, this is the kind of clarity that they want.
Exactly.
So I think that's interesting. I think the timing is interesting. We'll have to still wait and see. I still don't know if the SEC is going to make any approvals for a spot Bitcoin ETF this year. And I mean, nobody can tell you that except for people within the SEC. And we're still seeing a lot of claims for Gary Gensler to step down. He's lost two high profile lawsuits already. And in all fairness, one of them, he didn't start, his predecessor did, but he's getting the brunt of it now.
Well, not a fan of anybody really in the Biden administration, so I will just refrain from anything else other than that.
Yeah. And then last thing I wanted to touch on, and this isn't major news, but we may have to break into this a little bit more. You were kind of bringing up that we need to kind of do a deeper dive on the Lightning Network, and I would agree. One of the things about Bitcoin, for those of you that may or may not be super aware, is Bitcoin's very slow when it comes to settling transactions.
Yes. Well, if according to the original layout of Bitcoin by Satoshi.
Yeah. I mean, it's according to plan, right? Like they,
yes,
it's supposed to be secure. It's not supposed to be fast. So I think that's where things can kind of change up. Where if you have a lot of speed, maybe it's not the most secure decentralized network. But Coinbase is actually going to start to integrate Lightning into their operations. Binance has already done this previously, so this might be kind of an interesting thing to see.
Yes.
So,
and I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, being able to get your Bitcoin transactions done immediately, I think is actually pretty cool. So,
how many transactions can the traditional Bitcoin programming allow for?
So, and actually, it's funny because I pulled that up before we started and then I closed it out. So, let me pull that back up. It's not many, especially when
seven
transactions per second. Yes, is what the Bitcoin protocol currently runs at, is seven transactions per second. Lightning probably at full potential, you're looking at 1 million transactions per second. And just to kind of give you guys a real kind of thumbnail sketch of what Lightning's supposed to be, if you're not aware, is it's supposed to be a second layer solution that runs on top of Bitcoin, where you can, and it's not meant for large amounts, like anything over probably over one Bitcoin, you probably want to do just within the traditional Bitcoin network. But for your smaller everyday purchases, you could basically for retail type purchases, you could use the Lightning network to verify your transactions quickly, and they're fast. Like it's almost instantaneous. But basically what it does is it batches transactions onto the Bitcoin blockchain in bigger batches occasionally, and it settles everything quicker on the Lightning network and then goes back eventually, like every few hours, it goes back and batches it all into the base layer on Bitcoin. So it takes up some of that, takes up the speed. It does the verifications on the higher level and then just processes them through later. So you're not stuck waiting for that process to get the confirmations. Thumbnail sketch. Like I said, that's probably not the most accurate version of it, but that's basically how it works.
And that's a good description of it from what I can tell.
Yeah. So we'll see what that does. I don't know if it's going to do anything, but I mean, other than making, it will help strengthen the Lightning network as a whole, because I'm sure they'll run a node. And actually, just as a side note, before we kind of wrap up here, I actually bought a Bitcoin lottery miner. Have you heard about this?
No. Tell me about it.
So it's a stupid little machine that solo mines Bitcoin. It doesn't do a whole lot in the way of transaction or like hash rate. I mean, you're not even looking at a single terahash. Like your odds are astronomically infinitesimally small that you would ever actually be able to hit a block. Not that it's impossible, but they're like $40. They take 1 watt of power compared to like a traditional miner.
Which is how many watts now for a decent miner?
I don't even know, because I think even since we've looked at it, last time we were looking at them were, I think it was the S19. And I think they've got new ones out again now, so I don't even know what they're at. Now, the one thing I will say about the miners, whatever...
It's like in the thousands of watts, though.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you and I both have a miner at our respectable abodes, and we've turned them on. They're not quiet. They produce a lot of heat.
They're good for the winter.
They are good for the winter. They actually are, but I mean, they run up your electric bill at the same time. Anyways, this little thing runs off just 1 watt of power. It's like I said, it's kilohashes is what it measures it in. And it runs about 45 kilohash. And it gives you a chance to maybe one day win a Bitcoin in like 10 million gajillion years. But if you do get it with that little miner, you get the whole reward. You get the block reward plus all the transaction fees that would go along with that block. So they were kind of cool, and it's like $40. I was like, you know what? It's kind of cool. It's a good way to look at mining, especially like if you're trying to learn about mining. I think it's a good way to learn about it. The other thing too is like it's got different screens where it'll tell you time, it'll tell you the number of blocks till the next halving, all those types of things. Plus, like the difficulty level, all that. It's a really informative little unit, and they're tiny. It's small. It's cute. Yeah, I'm looking at getting an affiliate link for us. So if any of you were interested, you guys could buy one and get a kickback to us for it. So, sir, anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think that's it for me.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for listening. Keep stacking them sats, and hopefully we'll talk to you all soon, and we'll get some newsletters and some more merch. It's all still coming. It's all still in the works. We haven't given up yet.
That's right.
Bye.
Bye.